Welcome to Detroit Today. On 101.9 WDET, I'm Nick Austin, filling in for Stephen Henderson. Cash is king. It's a colloquial phrase you can hear often in the world of finance, but over the past few years, especially coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic, for many consumers, it may feel like cash, and in this case I mean specifically paper money, is now at best a baron, possibly a duke. That's because of the rise of access to cashless transactions, digital payments by credit card and cash apps in our society. The rapid rise of cashless transactions occurred for many by necessity, allowing monetary transactions with less or even no person-to-person contact at the height of the pandemic to reduce risk of transmission. But as in-person events and interactions return, cash transactions remain on the decline. But how much of this is consumer versus business driven? Just a quick story for you, as I personally went through this a bit this past Saturday when I attended my first Tigers game at Comerica Park in years. My friend paid for the ticket, so I told him I'd take care of the burgers. Except I only brought cash with me to the ballpark. And I was very surprised when I made it to the register with my food, only for the attendant to tell me my cash was no good there. And even though I ended up with free food as a result of this and a free ticket courtesy of my friend, thanks much for that, it still made me wonder, what about people without bank accounts? What about people who don't trust cash apps? Since when is cash not a valid form of currency? Well, soon in Detroit, cash may be king once again. That's because this week, by way of a unanimous vote, Detroit City Council passed a new law requiring retail and food service businesses to accept cash or face misdemeanor penalties, including up to $500 in fines and potential jail time. But while the new law, which takes effect in September, has been celebrated by some, other groups, including businesses, have expressed concerns. Do laws like these place undue burdens on small businesses who may rely on cashless models to operate efficiently? Should we just let the market decide whether running cashless businesses are even viable? Are these protections necessary to protect the interest of all citizens, both consumers and business owners in Detroit? A little later, we'll be joined by Charity Dean to hear her perspective on the changes as the president and CEO of the Metro Detroit Black Business Alliance. But first, we're joined by Detroit City Council member Angela Whitfield Calloway, who represents District 2 and sponsored the new law we're discussing today. Council member Whitfield Calloway, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And good morning.
Good morning to you as well. And let's just start from the top. Why did you introduce this new ordinance?
Real simple. Your experience at Tiger Stadium, simply trying to take your money to a concession stand or concession counter to buy a couple burgers, and you were turned away because you had cash, was my experience as well. I went to a Plum Market in October of 2022 with a $20 bill just to buy a salad. And I was turned away because they said they didn't accept cash. That was my first experience with a cashless business. It was a new phenomenon to me. I didn't know that there were businesses in my city that didn't accept cash. And it made me feel a little discriminated against. It felt a little Jim Crow-ish, for lack of a better word. And I just couldn't believe that a business could turn a customer away, not because of the person's color or gender, but because they chose to use a legal tender to purchase a product or service. I couldn't believe it. And so I took action.
Well,
that's how this all came about.
That makes sense. And the action you took is this new ordinance. I went through a little bit of it, but I'll let you tell people in your own words, what does the ordinance do?
Real simple. Accept cash. Okay. Real simple. It's not a complicated ordinance at all. It just simply says the purpose, and I'm going to read it to you. Section 40-3-1, purpose. The purpose of this ordinance is to provide consumers with the freedom to choose to pay in cash for the purpose of goods and services at retail businesses or food stores, brick and mortar, which accept in-person payments. Real simple ordinance. I'm not going to allow anybody to complicate it with debate or confusion. It's real simple, and it protects the rights of people to choose whether or not they want to use cash, debit, or credit card. There are over 100,000 people in the city of Detroit today who are either underbanked or unbanked for whatever reason. It could be because they don't qualify for a bank account, because you have to qualify to get a bank account. Whatever the reason, maybe they have some type of apprehension about having a bank account because of a past experience. That's neither here nor there. The fact of the matter is, the federal government is still producing cash. It's a legal tender.
So
why make it illegal in our city when it's legal?
Right.
So that's why this ordinance came about. Real simple, accept cash. It's legal. And to do otherwise, we can't allow the market to dictate or decide for us. We are the market. You are the market. We dictate what businesses should do. If we allow them to do what that makes us uncomfortable, then we acquiesce. We give up our power. We give up our options, our freedom to choose as a consumer. So I took action because I felt that businesses were putting what's convenient for them ahead of what's convenient for the consumer. And if the consumer stopped purchasing products and services, it's going to impact our economy in a devastating way.
Well, council member, I want to jump off of that because you said something very important there. We are the market. And so that would make me wonder then, though, if we are the market, can't we respond as the market? Did you have constituents telling you that this needed to occur, or was this just your
yes.
own person? You did have multiple constituents tell you this.
Let me tell you this, sir. This was not an ordinance driven by council. This was clearly an ordinance driven by the people, the residents of the city of Detroit. It wasn't driven by my own personal experience, although it triggered it, for lack of a better word. It triggered it. But what supported it, what gave it the wind, it was the people.
Right.
Everywhere I went, every corner of this city, it wasn't even a organized survey question. It was real simple. Do you still use cash when you make purchases?
Sure.
Wherever I went, I had my staff doing it. I had residents doing it. We did our own non-traditional type survey. Do you still use cash? And what's your preference? And 9 times out of 10, sir, this is a true story. They still use cash in the city of Detroit. It's nothing that I've made up. You had cash in your pocket when you went to Comerica Park and you were taken aback. You were surprised when they didn't accept your cash. So that's been an experience of a lot of Detroiters in the city of Detroit. And I knew it was going to be a problem if we allowed it to become commonplace, to become a cashless society.
Sure.
We're not ready for that yet. Not in the city of Detroit. And neither was Philadelphia. They tried it. They reversed it. Neither was San Francisco. They tried it. They reversed it. Amazon Fresh, they tried it. They reversed it. And the state of Massachusetts tried it and they reversed it.
Yeah.
It impacts such a large segment of our population. And what we're doing is we're allowing the marketplace, business owners, to discriminate against homeless people, youth, seniors, folks who immigrate to our country and don't have proper identification to even get a bank account.
Yeah.
A lot of people, sir, you may not know this, they work what I call under the table. They get paid in cash. They're working on some projects that you're not even aware of, but they're getting paid in cash. Or if they're getting paid with a payroll check, they take that payroll check. You may not know this, but it's commonplace in the city of Detroit to take your payroll check to a liquor store and get it cash. And that happened in District 1, Grand River and Greenville. A man took his payroll check into a liquor store and got it cash, but he got ambushed and he was body slammed to the concrete. So a lot of folks don't have bank accounts for whatever reason. And for us to try to become or support a cashless community is unacceptable, because now we are depriving people of a freedom of choice, and that's unacceptable.
Well, council member,
that's one of our constitutional rights.
Sure.
It's freedom.
I understand that there's a lot there, and I only have a limited amount of time with you, so I could talk about a lot of that, and we could bring you back on to get into some of those things.
Absolutely.
But getting back to this ordinance, and I do appreciate your response,
mm-hmm.
you do mention mm-hmm. the market then. If so many people in Detroit have cash, it would seem to me then if you're running a business that's cashless, the response is going to be you don't have access to all of that capital, you don't have access to all those customers, your mm-hmm. business won't exist much longer. Why can't the market take care of this if there's so many people who would prefer cash? Like maybe I say, I don't go back to Comerica Park. I do something else with my mm-hmm. money.
But see, so those venues are a little unique in and of themselves. So you have the Comerica Park, you have Ford Field and LCA. They have kiosks, which we call them currency exchange or a way for you to convert your cash into a debit card.
Right.
So those are the three major players in this phenomenon, cashless society. Those three. And then you have Plum Market. Now, going back to Plum Market, Plum Market didn't accept cash in Detroit. But they accepted cash in Romulus at the airport, and they accepted cash in Bloomfield Hills. Mm. So explain that one. So we have to, we as the consumers, we control the market.
Sure.
And so if a business decides that they don't want to accept cash, that's going to impact their business. And, you know, practically every business in Detroit accepts cash. Even the businesses who are members of the Metro Black Business Alliance that Charity Dean is the president of, even her business accepts cash, Rosa on Grand River. So I don't understand what the pushback is, but the people spoke loud and clear on
right.
Tuesday.
Well, let me try
we want to use our cash.
Let me try to characterize it as best as I can, because here's a couple of things. For example, there are exceptions that are listed in the ordinance, including parking lots and garages. Why would parking lots and garages be exempted but not other businesses?
Because for a very long time, parking lots have not accepted cash. They've accepted like debit cards, or they have parking passes, or you can pay on a monthly basis. So the law department decided that they were going to exempt those large parking lots because they already have memberships. I guess that's what the law department considered.
Sure.
When you have a monthly pass, it's like a membership. So they were exempt. And there weren't a lot of exemptions. We looked at this very closely, and those were the ones that we knew needed to be exempt from this ordinance.
All right. Very good. We're going to take a call pretty soon. And the phone number here is 313-577-1019. But speaking of the law department, council member Graham Anderson from the city law department said the fine or misdemeanor penalty would be going to the business itself for violation of this law. But businesses aren't people. They can't go to jail. And you've been advised by 36th District Court Chief Judge Bill McConico that fines wouldn't exceed $175, which you acknowledged, $175. So my question would be then with this ordinance, is there really any teeth to enforcing it with the penalties such as they are as listed there?
Oh, absolutely. So when I made that statement on Tuesday about the $175, that's the minimum.
Okay.
The maximum is $500. The $175 is mandatory, $50 attorney's fees, $50 to the victim's victim's unit, and then $75 to the state of Michigan. Mm. So those are mandatory with any misdemeanor charge.
Got it.
Up to $500, a misdemeanor charge, either 90 or 93 days in jail. So if you go to court because you have been fined because you don't accept cash, I don't know if you're actually going to get that $500 fine if it's like your first offense, but you will absolutely have to pay at a minimum $175.
And who's receiving the fine? Is this the business owner? Is this the retailer?
It is the business owner, because the business is a structure. Mm. It's brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. There is a business owner behind the business. Right?
Yeah.
The person who actually opened the business at this particular location. It wouldn't be the business itself. It would be the business owner, an individual.
Let's get some insight from a caller right now as we go in there. We're going to move into some of these calls right now, starting off with Philip in Royal Oak. Philip, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Hey, good morning. Just a quick question and one comment. Does the ordinance require businesses that are cash only to accept credit cards? And then the comment with going cashless, especially businesses that have tipped workers, it may deter people from tipping in cash, and that would not be beneficial for tip workers. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Philip.
Excellent.
Go ahead.
Excellent question. So what I want us to do is, in our everyday activities, ask a waitress how she wants to receive her tip. Ask her if she wants to receive cash or debit card as a tip. 9 times out of 10, they want cash. And then the gentleman asked me whether or not if a company only wants to accept cash, do they have to accept credit cards? Absolutely not. It's the business choice. This is a cashless ban ordinance. It has nothing to do with restricting people's ability to pay with a credit card. If a business is not set up to receive credit cards and only cash, okay. But a business in Detroit has to accept cash.
That was the focus there. But one of the things that I was thinking about was really how big of an issue this is. You mentioned that people want this, but what ends up coming up, you mentioned, of course, the venues, but they have the kiosks where you can get the credit card. So they're a little bit separate. Plum Market's the one store that I see here coming up, and it seems like there's a real specific incident there because they operated differently in another city. Couldn't we have a more targeted ordinance just against that behavior or maybe larger businesses instead of expanding it to all businesses?
Okay, so what this ordinance, it had to do this. We're trying to prevent our city from becoming a cashless city.
Got it.
Because once you allow one business to get away with something, then it begins to spread. And so we try to catch it on the front end to let everybody know this looks like it may become an issue. It looks like it may be ticking up. So we had to stop it in its tracks at its infant stage. Mm. I believe it was at the infant stage that we were able to tackle this problem with this ordinance. We cannot afford a cashless society in the city of Detroit with the residents who live here. Now, what happens outside of the city, that is their problem or their issue. But what happens in the city is my issue as an elected official.
Regardless of whether I agree or disagree with the merits of this, I do want to celebrate action up front, because one thing that I do take issue with is sometimes letting things linger when our representatives, our legislators aren't necessarily proactive about problems that they see. Hey, if you see something coming up, try to address it. So I do have to celebrate that posture, as I know we got to let you but I am going to slide in one more call before we let you go take on your day. Jamel in Detroit, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Hello. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Two quick points. What about the safety issue? I guess a lot of businesses, they don't want to accept cash because it keeps their workers safe and it keeps the customers safe. That way, because if someone wants to rob the store, I'm not going to rob them because they don't have any cash. And if you have like a cash app, the credit card, you can go to a Speedway, gas station, a 7-Eleven, and load your card that way, and then you have a debit card. So if people have money, there are ways to load debit cards, and you can not use cash. I think it's a safety issue. I really do. I think I'm totally against what the councilwoman proposed, the bill. I'm totally against it. You know, that's my comment.
I appreciate the comment. I present the question to you. What about the safety concerns, councilmember?
Okay, so there's always been a safety issue since this country was founded. We've accepted currency. And so to say that now all of a sudden there's a safety issue, those safety issues are everywhere throughout society, whether you accept cash or not. Some people will rob you thinking you have cash and you have nothing. Some people will rob a business thinking they have cash on the premises and they have nothing. So his argument is a false argument from the start. So businesses have always accepted cash. But since COVID, it became an issue. But there was no evidence to even prove that cash, that the COVID virus was being transmitted by touching cash that a person who had the virus touched before you touched it. There was really, really no evidence to prove that. But it gave some businesses a way to use the argument to not accept cash.
Yeah.
But that gentleman, Jamal, his argument is false because we've always accepted cash, and the safety issue has always been an issue, whether you accept cash or not. Safety is always an issue in any business that you run.
Thank you, Jamal. And we're going to have to end it there. Council member, thank you so much for your time and joining us on Detroit Today.
It's been my pleasure.
When we return, we are going to take a look at the other side of the argument when we're joined by Charity Dean, a business leader in Detroit. You're listening to Detroit Today, 101.9 WDET.
For news that impacts your community,
music that moves your soul,
and conversations that matter,
WDET.
Detroit's NPR station.
You're listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Nick Austin, filling in for Stephen Henderson as we look into a new ordinance that was just passed in Detroit by City Council, unanimously requiring food and retail business establishments accept cash in Detroit. That will go into effect in September. We just spoke with Council Member Angela Whitfield Callaway about why she sponsored the new law, but not everybody is completely on board or thinks that it's necessarily a good idea, including our next guest, who is the president and chief executive officer of the Metro Detroit Black Business Alliance, Charity Dean. Welcome back to Detroit Today.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you because I know you've expressed some concerns about this law, but as I mentioned, City Council voted for it unanimously. So what do you think they're getting wrong with this one?
Lots of things. Here's the issue. We just came out of a global pandemic, not 5 years ago, barely 3 years ago. I mean, we were in the trenches of a global pandemic. During that global pandemic, I was leading the city's small business response as the director of civil rights before I launched this new organization that I run. One of the things we did was help businesses transition from being cash reliant to being digital. In fact, we spent money in programs to help businesses understand the importance of being digital. So imagine the hypocrisy now that as a city helped folks stop being cash reliant and help folks get digital during a pandemic, to now say, if you decide to continue on that path and be cashless, we're going to criminally penalize you. I think there's so many things wrong with the ordinance. First of all, it does not solve a problem. I'm going to tell you why. Most businesses already accept cash. It's a solution in search of a problem. And you're right, there is a plum market situation, but we have to understand that, right? Like, that's a real thing. City Councilwoman went to the plum market to get a sandwich, could not use cash. And so now, as a result, every small business, every business in the city of Detroit is banned from being cashless. And then, you know, there is an argument of there are people that are unbanked and there are people that lack digital access. And guess what? As a result of this ordinance, they're still unbanked and they still lack digital access. We as City Council will come up with policies or programs to help folks get connected to digital access to actually close the digital divide. They said, no, we asked for delay in the vote so that we can work out the policy kink so there's not a criminal misdemeanor attached to this policy. They said, no. I think this was an easy way to say, hey, we did something for, you know, people who we might consider poor, but in fact, they've not changed one person's situation. And so it's really, really bad policy. It looks good at its face, but its implementation, it's going to have lasting effects, and it's really unfortunate.
Charity, I appreciate the responses there. You raise points about the penalties associated, which I understand your concerns there. You also raise points about, I guess what I'm getting at is to the extent that penalties, yes, those are always a little bit rough in terms of mechanisms. I want to dig a little bit deeper, though, into the merits of the argument that businesses, whether they should or should not be required to accept cash. One of the things you said is that people who are unbanked will still be without access. And even though we should still work, I don't think anyone's saying we shouldn't work to provide more access to banking for people. It still exists that there's predatory schemes. You, I'm sure, know people who aren't so happy with bank and credit card companies because of transaction fees that can happen with that. With these cashless apps, there was just a notice that went out from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau about the fact that your funds on those services aren't insured, FDIC insured, so you risk losing that. For a lot of people, they choose not to be banked. Why should they have to not be allowed to use their cash if that's the way that they choose to in these businesses?
Yeah, so I think that's the misunderstanding of my point.
Sure.
Here, I think I'm pro-choice, right? Right. I think consumers should be able to use the tender they want if they want to use cash app, which many, many people that are unbanked, they still have digital access. They're using Cash App. They're using Zelle. They're using PayPal. They're using Apple Pay. People get to make choices, right?
Yeah.
And business owners are people, too. Small businesses are making choices every day for what's best for their customers, what's best for their employees, and what's best for their business. And guess what? These small business owners are often, like, it's almost as if, like, some humans get to make choices, but others humans don't. And so that's why I, when we looked at this ordinance, we don't know one small business owner that does not want to take money. So no one is trying to lose a customer here. As a matter of fact, most small business owners take a myriad of types of tender because we want to make sure that we can get a customer any way that they want to pay. This is there's no problem. There is not a real issue outside of the plum market scenario. And I'm telling you, like, I'm real Detroit, right? I'm from the Detroit West Side all day. I know I have family, I have friends. I know folks that reach every spectrum of the income barrier. And even, look, I was downtown, and there was someone asking for money. And they said, we're like, no, I don't have anything. And he said, I got Cash App, right? And that's a real thing. So we cannot just make these assumptions about how people are operating today in 2023 and just assume that there's this huge population that does not have access to anything. And even if that were the case, then I would say, well, why is this ordinance so restrictive? If that was really the case and you really had over 100,000 people that only operate out of cash and they don't have digital access, then let's look at who this ordinance actually targets. Because there are so many other places that can be cashless and there are no penalties. It's so funny, you know, when you were listening to public comment, folks were saying, well, I can go, you know, I went down to Little Caesars Arena and, you know, they're cashless. And so, well, Little Caesars Arena has to have kiosks. But guess what? Those parking lots, they still get to be cashless. So this is not, we're not trying to create a cashless Detroit. If that were the case, there would not be so many exceptions. The irony is the people that are most impacted by this, your big stadium, they're going to be able to afford the kiosk. Parking lot owners, they're not even mentioned. It is retail and food establishments. It is the small businesses that are often overlooked. It is the small businesses that this absolutely targets. It's very, very interesting and highly unfortunate.
We're speaking with Charity Dean, who is the president and chief executive officer of the Metro Detroit Black Business Alliance, but we want to speak with you as well. Do you still use cash or have you gone cashless? Let us know why, either way. And do you think businesses should be required to accept cash? Is this law pro-consumer or anti-business? Do you think the market should decide, or are these protections even necessary? And have you had experience where you weren't able to make a purchase using cash? Give us a call, 313-577-1019. Again, 313-577-1019. And we can work you into the conversation like we're doing right now with Ed. Go ahead, Detroit. You're on Detroit Today.
Yes. As I understand it, there is no federal law or rule that requires any retailer to accept United States currency. And I'm curious as to whether the city has looked and to see whether rules of this sort have been ever tested in the courts. I haven't looked into it myself, but just off the top of my head, it seems to me it's probably unconstitutional.
You know, it's interesting you say that, Ed. I appreciate that call. To the extent that there's no federal law on it, I don't know of a constitutional law that would prevent a city from requiring someone to take cash. That seems a little... I suspect that that would be okay, but it is something that we would have to look into. Go ahead, Charity.
I guess the question is valid. Yes, there are other cities that have done this. His point is, has anyone sued on this, and is this valid? Like, when you determine the constitutionality of something, you've got to basically, we've got to litigate the issue and see, is this, you know, government overreach? Especially for me, the fact that there's a criminal misdemeanor attached to this, right? So if I'm a small business owner, and we've got, you know, we have small business owners that were robbed, you know, someone talked about safety, right? And again, there is not a requirement to accept card or to, you know, there's not a requirement on the other end to accept all forms. It's just this one form. Wow. And if a business owner, for a number of reasons, I've only got one person working at the store, maybe my staff, yeah. I've got issues with my staff and cash. If a business owner makes that decision, there is a criminal misdemeanor attached to that.
Well,
and
that
so
would
whether
be
or not that has been tested.
For the business owner. So I guess, yeah, that's the question.
For
What's the constitutional question?
What's the constitutionality?
What's the constitutional issue? Because I'm just not seeing it. Like, is there a specific amendment that you're looking
at? It could be two.
Go ahead.
It could be two. It could be, does government have power to restrict a business, that business decision? That's the first one. Mm-hmm. And then the second one is that the constitutionality of a criminal charge because of this also government that could be overreach.
All right. Well,
but, I mean, we would have to see.
Well, we will let the constitutional scholars look through that one as we move now to John on the East Side. Go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Hi. So I have a question about parking. I didn't hear the whole conversation, but I just want my observation is that it's almost impossible to park anywhere with cash anymore downtown. And I've been told, there's a couple things. A, there's a certain titan that is taking over all the parking downtown, and the rates of parking have increased so much that the very low-paid workers are suspect of perhaps putting some of that in their pocket. And so it kind of complicates the issues a little bit, but just wonder what is going on with the parking issue.
Well, I can tell you, specifically related to this ordinance, John, that parking lots were exempted, so they can remain card only.
Isn't that it? So. The irony, but yes, parking lots are not. You can actually be a cashless parking lot.
Yeah.
And city council doesn't mind that.
Very good. And thank you for your call there, John, as we move next over to Lorenzo in Clinton Township. Go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Hello.
Hi there.
I kind of agreed with the councilwoman. Now, I do not agree that everything should be exempt or anyone should be exempt from it. I would agree that it may not be an issue now. Maybe not a lot of people are having this issue. Or so, I mean, if they're not digital, then you wouldn't really know if they're having the issue or not because they're not online. They're not really in person. They're only doing cash. But I would assume that the parking lots, I think they should also be accepting cash. I mean, they normally do. I don't know a lot. I mean, I know she said something about membership and them having membership. Mm-hmm. But if you accepted cash, you can still accept card and have a membership. So regardless of how you're doing things, I don't think this bill is really a disagreement negatively or positively in this instance as of now, but I would think it'll be positive if we do, moving forward, want to go all digital, because there, what's the point of cash at that point, you know? And then there's so many people run into credit card issues, fraud. I mean, if fraud is just on a continuous incline when it comes to that, and if you push out only digital, I mean, you're only going to have more and more people get hit with fraud. That's kind of how I think about it.
I appreciate that, Lorenzo, and I'm jumping in just because I know, Charity, that I don't have forever with you, but I do want to present Lorenzo's point to you and a little bit more on it, because when we were discussing Cash App earlier, I know a lot of people have access to it, but my point was a little bit more along the lines of what Lorenzo was saying, with fraud, with these fees, with potentially losing funds that are on these Cash App services, because again, they are not FDIC insured. My thing is just more, you talk about choice. What about the choice not to have to use Cash App? I know people have access, but if you don't want to because you're afraid of fraud, because you're afraid of these things, what do you say to people who say, I want the choice not to have to use those applications?
I agree with them. I think that's my point is that everyone should make the choice that is best for them, including business owners. And I would love for city council to say, you know what, we want people to be able to use cash. And so let's think of creative ways that we can incentivize businesses to accept cash. Right. So everything doesn't have to be a ban with criminal penalties is my only issue. My issue is not the purpose of the ordinance, but the intent of the ordinance. I actually agree with it. I'm a small business owner. We accept cash. But the issue is that when you take an issue such as cashless and being able to be accessible for people that operate with cash, and then you criminalize those and make other choices, then it's not about choice. So I agree. I think, you know, city council could really do the Detroiters a better service if we say, how else can we deal with this issue? How else can we look at the policies to make sure that everyone has access to the businesses that they need using the tenders that they choose? That's my issue. It is not the fact that we want to promote people that are using cash and relying on cash to continue that. That's not my issue. My issue is that we decided to criminally penalize business owners who want to make their own choices.
Hearing you loud and clear, Charity, you're a fan of using the carrot, not necessarily the stick, incentivizing people to do what you want, not punishing them for doing something that
you prefer.
And Charity, I also know that you have work to do and I can't keep you forever. So thank you so much for joining us right now on Detroit Today.
Thank you. Have a good day.
When we return on Detroit Today, we will continue with your calls and hear from another business leader who has questions about this ordinance. Are you a fan? Are you not? Do you use cash? Have you gone cashless? Do you believe this law is pro-consumer or anti-business? We'll hear from you and continue the conversation as Detroit Today continues. You're listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Nick Austin, filling in for Stephen Henderson, having a wonderful conversation about the new ordinance that will be affecting Detroiters in September, the move to require retail and food establishments to accept cash. Not currently an issue at the moment. I mean, you're not required to do that, but in September you will be. Passed unanimously in City Council, but how do you feel about it? We're getting your responses right now. Starting off with Joe in Rochester. Go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
I had a question around what's the cost for changing out the checkout kiosks that don't take cash? I mean, what's the cost to the business? And what's the cost to the loss, loss of revenue there? I know more than once I've gone through a checkout and it didn't take cash, and I just didn't make the transaction. So, what's up? Have they considered this?
You know, that's a very interesting question. And stay on the line there, Joe, because one of the things I know is that at least at the Little Caesars Arena, for you to get the card, if you want it only had cash, that you can do that without a transaction or at least cost to the consumer. Now, I don't know what that costs the business. And I also know when I was at Comerica Park, nobody told me about that option. So I didn't even know that could have been a thing. But maybe our next guest has some insight into that. It's Danielle North, who is an entrepreneur in the city of Detroit. Danielle, thanks for joining us here on Detroit Today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Fantastic. I'm glad you're here. I'm going to ask you about Joe's question in just a moment. But before we get there, I do want to give you an opportunity to tell us what concerns you have or how you consider this new law as an entrepreneur in the city. What's your perspective?
Yeah, so I've owned a business, actually the first indoor playground in the city of Detroit, which is also a licensed child care center. It's Kids Kingdom Child Care and Party Center. And we actually have been a cashless business for the past 4 years. And we don't accept cash for safety purposes for our business. We are an all-woman staff, and most of our parents who drop off are women. We do have some dads who do drop off and pick up, but our moms are primarily the drop-off folks, and it's for safety purposes. We don't want folks coming in and out with cash. And as a business owner, I don't want to have to run back and forth to the bank with cash. And so that's both a safety mechanism and also actually an administrative mechanism for us. We're a small team, so we just don't have the flexibility and time for the bank runs in addition to it being a safety issue.
You know, I have some thoughts about that also, many, but before I get into mine, I do want to ask you, I don't know if you've looked into what Joe in Rochester was talking about in terms of kiosks or anything like that. Do you have any idea of how those kiosks run and any chance of whether they charge the business? How do they make their money?
Yeah, I'm actually
That's fair.
Simply because, I mean, as a small business that has recovered or, if you will, made it through COVID, we've been keenly focused on trying to keep our business open.
Sure.
So any kind of added cost, particularly something like a kiosk, or actually lately I've been really just disenchanted a bit with City Council in terms of the number of ordinances or pushes that they've tried to put forth that will cause more undue stress or burden or cost for small businesses. I don't know how much those kiosks cost. Who is going to pay for this?
Fair.
I don't have the money.
I understand, Danielle. We got a lot of calls, so I'm going to work on getting through some of those. As Joe in Rochester, again, thank you for your call there.
Sure.
We're going to move now over to Mace in Detroit. Mace, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Hey, good morning. How's everybody doing?
Doing well. Go ahead.
So real quick, I just want to say I disagree with everything that's going on. I think that everyone should have an option to pay on how they want to pay. And at the end of the day, should everyone know that I got a coffee this morning at a certain place or anything like that? That's where it's going to. The writing's on the wall. A lot of people won't see it, but you can see it in other countries and in other places where they have adopted that. It's not good for the consumer. It is not good for the business owners at all. The city of Detroit cannot, no offense here, but the city of Detroit cannot run to the beat of the heartbeat of a child care center.
Well,
you know what I mean?
So then you're advocating, just so I'm clear, you're advocating for, you say that cash should be required for businesses to accept.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We should be able to go. I should be able to pay everyone in gold if I had to. no one needs to know what anyone's business is, and that's what it is. It is just an overreach of the government. In less than 10 years, they will take their taxes from you without you even having to, apply for it.
Yeah,
or anything.
Yeah.
That's where it's going.
I appreciate that point, Mace, because I think one thing we think about in this society now, the loss of anonymity, the ability to just, pay for something in cash. Now with these transactions and data losses with credit card companies and things, your information isn't necessarily as secure as you would hope for. So I do appreciate that point, Mace. Moving through other callers, because again, we have a bunch of them. Go ahead, Lynn in Detroit. You're on Detroit Today.
Good morning. I agree with the councilwoman. What's the problem with the choice of cash? I personally don't want Cash App or whatever the other little options are, and I don't want my every purchase tracked by creditors, government, whoever. I prefer to use cash, so I should have a choice to use the U.S. legal tender to make my purchase. And sometimes there's a fee to use the other option. They're complaining about, oh, it costs me extra money. Well, it costs the person, the individual, extra money every time you make a purchase.
But
if you use the other options, if you have cash, you're going to spend whatever cash you have.
Yeah.
If you have credit, you may overspend and like, oh, shoot, I shouldn't have done that. Too late now.
Yeah. I want to jump in on this, Lynn, again, because we have a lot of callers. And I do want to cycle you back in here, Danielle, because I completely appreciate your point about trying to make it as a small business. And we know it's very taxing. And by going cashless, you can lower your administrative costs. But there is an argument also that what we have here is offsetting the burden of different costs, whether it goes to the consumer or whether it goes to the business. So what would you say to people like Lynn who might say, well, wait a second, now this added cost that's normally borne by a business is now being borne on me, including needing to give up my privacy? What response would you have to that?
Yeah, I actually think that this is a very interesting discussion about choice. I mean, I hear the consumers calling and saying, it's my choice, it's my choice. And that is just, it's almost cringy to me. I'm sorry, because my choice is not being considered in any of this. My choice to accept or not. I mean, just the idea of this gentleman. And I mean, these are the kind of calls that were being made into city council. The gentleman said if he wants to pay in gold, he should be able to pay in gold. Well, how am I going to convert that gold? And I know this is an outrageous example, but it still goes back to the main point that we have here. How do I then take that gold and make it be of use to me as a business? Who decided that? The old adage, the customer is always right. I don't know who came up with that.
Probably a customer.
that it just puts me in a difficult place, because now we're saying small business owners don't have rights.
Yeah.
And so I think a charity mentioned earlier, and I should also mention that I am a member of Metro Detroit Black Business Alliance.
Yes.
And I'm also on the board. And, you know, we're trying to advocate for small business owners because we have rights as well. And so I don't know how we choose here. And I agree with Charity. My business is a very interesting case. But there are small businesses, you know, who aren't just daycares, yeah, who don't accept cash. But the ones who you guys are speaking about, they're not going to be hurt because they can afford to make these changes or have already made these changes. Now, when you talk about the consumer, I don't charge fees when you use your credit card, like maybe the gas station. So there's going to be an additional administrative fee if you're using your car. We don't do that. And I honestly, again, that's another thing that's the business owner's choice. But I do think that's where you meet the consumer halfway, and you don't charge them fees for using their card. I would not do that.
That's what's coming on here. It's the tension between where is that line. And as we work through that, thank you, Lynn in Detroit. We're going to move to Scott in Westland. Go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Hello.
Hey, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
I just looked at the front of a dollar bill. And it says, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. So to quote the B-52s, they laid down the law in Mesopotamia. You know, it's, and I guess if you look elsewhere, there's also that phrase, it's also guaranteed by the full faith and credit of the United States of America. You've been hearing a lot about the full faith and credit.
Yeah.
But yes, basically it says on every dollar bill that it's legal tender for all debts, public and private. And that's simple. Somebody was calling in and asking, well, where does it say that I have to accept cash? Well, right there on the dollar bill.
Very good, Scott. I appreciate that point. As we are on Detroit Today, 101.9 WDET, give us a call. Share with us your perspective as we close out the show. 313-577-1019. Actually, I got Frank in Detroit right now. Frank, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Hello. Yeah. So I see it on both sides. I kind of agree with the lady in that's speaking now. I'm not the congresswoman speaking now, as in having to. I think it's more. It should be more towards big businesses than smaller businesses, because even the big businesses, the kiosks, smaller businesses doesn't have kiosks. They don't have you convert your money into some form of payment that's only related to that business specifically. And if I, for example, I kind of went to the airport and I couldn't spend my $100 cash to purchase for my baggage. Mm-hmm. I had to specifically go to the kiosk, transfer my money into the card, and give them that card in order to make purchase, which was ridiculous to me. I have the cash sitting right here. You can't accept it? Okay, fine. Not only with that, I only needed, you know, $50. I had to put $60 in order to do it because they only accept 5 cents and 20s. So now I have a $5 on this card that I'm not going to go back to the airport with for a reason. Now I just lost, you know, five or however much money for using that kiosk. But I do agree with the lady that it shouldn't be targeted towards specifically small businesses. However, I don't think it's, yeah, it isn't the issue. I'm sorry, I'm kind of going on.
No,
it's that they're both, you know, having the right. By putting the bill in place, you're telling the world that it is an issue.
Yeah.
And it right now it isn't an issue, but if there was an issue,
yeah,
then I can understand, yeah, the bill coming into play, but because it's not an issue.
I very much appreciate it, Frank. We're going to have to move on, though. As like I said, we're coming up on the close of the show, and I want to give Danielle, we got about 30 seconds left. I want to just give you an opportunity to respond to that and get your take. I mean, this is basically what I'm getting at here. The tension is between where is the line between what's fair for consumer and what's fair for business owner. You've thought about this a lot. Where do you think that line should be? Where it used to be, or is there another alternative that you have?
Yeah, I think that as Charity stated earlier, that no business is wanting to turn away customers. But I think with any type of decision that you make, everything isn't for everybody. And so maybe my business isn't for you, and I don't need that in an angry or mean manner. Maybe my business isn't for you if we can't come to a happy medium on what works for my business. I would not charge a consumer additional fees for using their card, but also for my business and for the safety of my staff who come first. I'm not going to put my staff in danger. I'm not going to put them in an uncomfortable or uncompromising situation. We're a small shop. And so I just want customers to meet us halfway. That's the halfway point. I won't charge But I also can't accept the cash. And I really want to thank that last caller because it was looking a little gloom and doom for a vote for the small
There are lots of perspectives. Danielle, thank you so much for joining us on Detroit Today.
Thanks for having me. Have a great one.
That's going to do it for this conversation. You're listening to 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to tell people about it. The podcast is available for you to download. See us tomorrow when we look at ChatGPT, the pros and cons of artificial intelligence. I'll see you again tomorrow.